Welcome to Inside Games, the only gaming news channel brave enough to keep posting videos after pissing everybody off about Gamergate 2.
Oh, it's Gamergate. Everyone's mad at us on the internet. Bruce, old times are here again. It feels good. We do have a bit of a follow-up about that, by the way, but we're going to, in good Inside Games fashion, we're going to rage bait you all the way to the end of the episode to get out. We got some other spicier news first.
Yeah, don't worry. You're going to love to watch this episode, too, because I know you want to dunk all over it. There is a new dogpile target in town, and it has really nothing to do with being woke at all. It's Star Wars.
Bruce actually blocked any memories of Star Wars made after 2016 as a trauma thing, so we won't bother him about that.
That's right, I didn't. Yeah.
But no, this time we're talking about a different Star Wars that managed to ruin an entirely different set of childhood memories. The Star Wars Battlefront Classic Collection.
It's just a big old mess, Lawrence. I played a bunch of hours of it. To put it nicely, it's a big old mess.
Yeah, you were looking forward to it. Aww.
Hey, who knows? I thought it was, maybe it'll be fun.
Yeah, the re-release of the beloved and classic Battlefront games have been plagued with crashes and general server instability, causing furious fans to lash out online and putting developer Aspyr in full damage control mode.
Okay, let's go over its many, many issues. Because there's a lot. To start with, the servers, they really weren't enough. Now, they had a bunch of like official servers, but they didn't assume that 10,000 people were going to download this game on Steam. It was one of the top-selling games that day.
Yeah. Some streamers claimed that there were only three 64-player servers available at launch for the 10,000 players who were trying to file on in. I like how not a lot of servers makes it sound like that a couple of people had to stand and wait for someone else to leave. But no, it was like a stadium showing up to a VFW.
Mm-hmm. To be fair, it looked like more servers were added on launch night, which is true because I played the day after launch and they had added a few more servers. So at least there were spaces for me.
Yeah, but that didn't stop the complaints because that's not where the issues ended.
All right, so on its support site, Aspyr wrote that, quote, "At launch, we experienced critical errors with our network infrastructure. The result was incredibly high ping, matchmaking errors, crashes, and servers not appearing in the browser."
Aspyr said they were working to address the issues to fix network stability. Aspyr also encouraged people to report their bugs via a request form.
Whoa, that must have been a lot. And while lots of online games have had server issues at launch, Battlefront players were reporting lots of other issues. Like, there was so much lag, Lawrence. So much lag. Lost audio, which definitely happened. And then sluggish performance. This, by the way, that's the nicest way to say this. Sluggish performance in matches. Because it was just like a total mess.
That's not where it ends. Others complained of the inability to change flight controls. Campaign cutscenes are not playing. And just being generally unable to partner with friends.
Not surprisingly, the collection's user reviews have been very bad.
On Steam, the game's user reviews on Friday were at overwhelmingly negative with more than 4,000 reviews.
Oh, user Nightnight wrote, "Do not buy unless servers are fixed. Currently, game is totally unplayable. Even if you manage to get into a server, players cannot spawn." And this is true. A lot of the times it would count down, like do a little countdown before you spawned. It would go 3, 2, 1, and then the 1 would freeze on the screen. And you just stare at a 1.
At some point, it seems like it's intentionally trolling, right? User Ramjam wrote, "I played 3 rounds of both games, and they were a horrific abominations of bugs and connection issues."
It's true. All of it. People also took to X to post clips of horrible textures, bugged character selection screens, and a game softlocking as the respawn timer got stuck on 1. This happened to me. I played 2.5 hours, and this happened to me, I'm going to say, 15 times, probably.
That's a lot, yeah. Yeah. Another gamer's save file was dated January 1st, 2070. It's supposed to be a long, long time ago, though. It would have been, I don't know, 1870? Anyway, the future is now.
Wow. Twitter user Jexio posted a clip of his Jedi character stuttering and bouncing around the screen during combat. And the streamer Chris Coven, who's awesome, showed off an extremely loud explosion sound effect that sounded like TV static turned up to 100.
Come here, Queenie!
Yeah, all crackly. Oh, so nostalgic. Some of the changes aren't bad. They're just confusing. This is what really gets me. TikTok user TheRealRevan03 uploaded a clip comparing the loading screens of this release to the original Battlefront, finding that the map bleepy bloops have changed pitch for no reason. Gets weirder in the replies. Revan posted that trooper voices will sometimes just pitch down for no real reason.
Weird. Over on Reddit, fans also took shots at the game's troubled launch. User Sazatar said the launch was, quote, "probably one of the worst displays of incompetence I've ever seen in gaming. adding that people expected almost nothing and they somehow under-delivered, and this is true.
All it had to do was play like a game from over 10 years ago and it couldn't even do that. Yeesh. The game on Steam peaked at almost 10,000 players its first day, but by day two, it was less than 7,000 and probably just cratering after that. I don't know. If they fix it, though, and it's the first stop for nostalgia, maybe a week from now, it'll be fine. Who knows?
This might be refunds, too. People might be getting refunds for these. I think I played over 2 hours. I should request that on Steam, to be fair. I'm going to be honest with you. It's $35, Lawrence. It's basically as much as Helldivers. They should never have been charging this much. Don't buy the game right now, just wait. It's definitely an embarrassment for the port studio Spire, which has kind of already been in hot water with Star Wars fans.
Yeah, last year it canceled DLC for its Switch port of Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic 2, and it's supposedly working on a full remake of the first Knights of the Old Republic game, but seems like that's been in development hell for years at this point. Last we heard, allegedly, it's still happening, though.
After these issues, don't be surprised if fans don't rush out to buy this KOTOR remake. I don't want it anymore. I did at first. I was like, oh, cool, they're doing a remake. And now this is just horrible.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, maybe lean on those refund policies, everyone. Maybe look that up before you buy the game.
Yeah, just wait. Don't buy this video game. I don't even really know if this is ever going to come back at all. I don't think they're going to ever fix it. But it's just too much money. Unfortunately, you cannot refund a YouTube view, which you've just given us. So if you're upset with our previous video about Gamergate 2, we really have no way to get it back to you. We're sorry. We can, however, address some of your concerns in the comments.
Yeah, yeah. I take sign off on the script and the research and specifically what was and wasn't included in that report. And that's what most people had an issue with. And I can see why. I don't think those issues are unfounded. But to explain our reasoning process and try to make it plain that we don't have I hope we don't have an agenda beyond just trying to be decent and encourage awesome video games on the internet. To explain that, I'm trying to think of how deep to go. So bear with me for a minute. All right. I admit there's a really juicy narrative there, and we did not report on part of it. And I also personally, and this I have to make this distinction, I personally agree that Tweet Baby Incorporated's Chris Kindred and Kotaku editor Alyssa Mercante said some very dumb stuff on the internet. Things I don't agree with and am not trying to support by not including them in a report. We're not cramming our agenda in there. I drew boundaries at that point in the story because that's when the narrative starts to enter a different chapter. And this is where the Gamergate playbook is kind of kicking up. And I'm not saying that discredits everything about it, so I'm not going that far. But essentially, like, this is how it works, is initial antagonism causes one side or the other to get provoked and do something. And then that's used as validation for the initial antagonism. And it kicks off like this justice cycle that's kind of spinning up now. And it makes it seem justified. When you get some boneheaded thing posted on the internet and a nice crisp screenshot, it makes one side look very bad and easy to argue against. But that is separate from the original thing that this is technically supposed to be about, which is that Sweet Baby Incorporated is flexing Illuminati-like woke control over the games industry. So once those comments were disconnected from that original issue, that's where I drew the line to report on, because when it comes to this, you could spend days reporting they said this, they said that. Whether or not it's germane to the story is actually where journalism gets a little fuzzy. So here's the thing, though. Before that report, and even after that report, I've asked around, talked to people, and I keep hearing the same thing, is that Sweet Baby Incorporated is really not that influential. They come in and provide ideas that are honestly more often than not even used. But I guess you might think that I'm part of the conspiracy at this point. Anyway.
Well, Lawrence, I do want to say, I mean, it's kind of one of those things where we don't necessarily have to take Sweet Baby at face value. We really don't. I mean, if they say, no, you know what? This all we do is consult for the scripts. We don't add DEI or whatever. They could be lying. And same with gamers, right? The gamers are like, well, this isn't about being a white male. They could be lying too. So we can't report on that stuff because there aren't any facts there. That's all speculation. So we can only report on the things that we know. And like Lawrence said, he went around and asked people about Sweet Baby and they were like, no, they just consult for scripts. So that's just kind of the way it goes.
Could have been more explicit about that context in the original report. which I admit. I guess the accusation that we support woke control over games because we left out a couple of screenshots of people being bigoted on the internet, right. Really, is not evidence that we support some. I hate getting preached at in games, man. Last of Us 2 is insufferable, and it still makes me upset to think about playing that stupid game. Here's the problem, though. Again, Sweet Baby Incorporated is not explicitly connected to any of that. And there is a very desperate attempt to find evidence of those connections, and it hasn't done very well. So here's where we're at, right? A lot of people are venting their frustrations through a small instance that's not really connected or tangibly relevant to the situation at hand, which means it actually is kind of like Gamergate. So I don't know. Yeah. Everyone's paranoid about wokeism taking over media, and they found a tiny, tiny possible maybe example of it happening, and it became this whole thing. It's fine to not want that. I don't want it either.
Not me either.
But you got to kind of choose your targets well. Now, here's the thing I do think that we weren't egalitarian about, is that in the report, we did provide some character context for Cabrutus, the creator of the Steam Group. That same character context probably should have been provided for Chris Kindred. I think the Kotaku editor is even more disconnected from this.
And also way worse. Like what she said was way, way worse. So
yeah. Yeah. So yeah, we made a call. I think now Gamergate 2 is in its second act, and I kind of drew the lines at act one. And I think by doing that, it does kind of make it look stupider, because when you start to use the subsequent antagonism as validation for the whole thing, then suddenly it seems much more, what's the word? Reasonable.
Yeah.
So anyway, I guess long story short, I do think there were some gaps in our reporting, but it's our job to report what people say and not necessarily to follow up with character assassination or anything like that. So I don't know.
And also speculation, because again, we don't know that what Chris Kindred tweets is what he puts into the games for Sweet Baby. We don't know that. And I'm sure that there are times that Chris Kindred has had an influence or two on a game, but we don't know when or where. We don't have any proof of it, so we can't say this is when it happened.
It's also kind of part of the system, you know? There are people out there that are going to push for their agendas, and they're going to try to exert their controls as long as everyone's doing it civilly, which in this case, I actually do owe most compliments to our viewers in chat, or viewers and commenters, because it actually wasn't that bad. I mean, there were people who were pretty directly disagreeing with us and even making some accusations. Hey, it's all part of the game. I get it. So congrats on y'all for not getting too personal or throwing... Gamergate 1 was a different story in this regard. So thank you all for keeping it mostly civil and above the belt.
Hey, we appreciate that. We really do. In the comments, there weren't that many people I had to ban.
yeah.
Only a few who were basically like, you know, L take or whatever. And those people are gone because they got... They have no reasons for what they're saying, so I don't need to see them. You know who I do need to see? These patrons that support the Inside Games Patreon. These patrons have nothing to do with Gamergate 2. They're just scruffy looking nerf herders. Dylan Hiley, Tito 007, Regulus, and Spirit Bear.
That's funny you mentioned that, Bruce, because I got some patrons that used to bullseye womp rats back home. We got Rook or Captain Coldblood, Loveless, Pitstrip, and Ray Pichardo. Hey, thank you all very much for the support.